We're up to the Tosas on the top of Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph. So the truth is, there's a question here I wanted to look at. I didn't give you full Makoros, but I do want to spend a little time. I asked you to look at this Tosfos because it's a basic concept in Eidos, but it's an interesting concept because it has many different meanings. Tosfos, who would like to read for me, Adin?
From the beginning?
Yeah, so the Gemara had said, just to remind you what the Gemara had said, that that Rabbi Yochanan understood that Eidim Zomim you could pay and not get Malkos, because you wouldn't be being Mevatel Vayon Bin Akosa Rasha, but rather you would be Mekayim B'Mixas and Mevatel B'Mixas, and Mekayim B'Mixas by Ben Gusha Ben Chalutza. So that's the case where you're going to get Malkos. The truth be told, what Tosfos says here is not so much pertinent to the sugya. The Tosfos really, the longer Tosfos, which I hope some of you looked at, I think I asked you to look at, did I not?
No, please.
I did not. No, okay, so the first Tosfos is a Makos. If you saw the notes anyway in the Mesoros HaShas, he tells you to look there, because there's a much more elaborate presentation of it. But this question really isn't Shaykh to our sugya, it's Shaykh to the Din of Ben Gusha Ben Chalutza. So what does Tosfos ask? Grim Tomar.
Grim Tomar, am I laku?
Okay, so what is Tosfos talking about? What's the question? When I first read this Tosfos, I didn't understand, because what is Eidos She'ata Yochol Lahazima? Daniel?
Meaning they can't become Eidim Zomamin, then their Eidos is not Eidos.
So that's a very literal and is a fair and accurate translation of it, but when I sort of internalize it conceptually, how would you formulate it? And as you're right, if they can't become Eidim Zomim, but...
Meaning they can't receive the punishment.
Well, okay, so that is not, I'll tell you, that's not what I would have said, Danny.
So any Eidos that is not subject to the... Any Eidos which you can't prove false by the standard mechanism of Eidos.
So I would have said if it's not falsifiable.
Right.
Because one is the original case, and we... Eidos... Correct. I understood. Well, because to understand Tosa's question, what is the standard most basic point in Shas where Eidos She'ata Yochol Lahazima arises? No, I understand. In other words, what does that necessitate? The requirement of Eidos She'ata Yochol Lahazima necessitates what? When and where? You need the seven drishos v'chakiros of Zman and Makom. You need those so that it's falsifiable, because otherwise, if the whole point of Eidim Zom is Imanu Hen Yisem B'Makom Ploni B'Yom Ploni, so if I don't tell you the proper date, you'll say you were with us in San Francisco. I say, yeah, oh, but it was the previous day in New York, so it's no longer a raya. And if those of you remember the Gemara with the flying camels, Chazal never imagined that there would actually be flying camels, so we call them airplanes. So the bottom line is that you have is that Eidos She'ata Yochol Lahazima means really that it's not falsifiable. And therefore, you look at if they. So Tosfos is asking a question that by Ben Gusha Ben Chalutza it's Eidos She'ata Lahazima. What are you talking about? Now Tosfos did not ask the question out of the blue. There's a makor, and that Tosfos here alludes to it briefly. A Gemara in Sanhedrin about Trefa. So from that Gemara it becomes apparent that Eidos. And there's actually more. There are two Gemaras. So the Eidos She'ata Yochol Lahazima actually takes on sort of broader coloration. And there's sort of several different gradations within this. Now, there also, I didn't ask you to look at this, and unless you went fishing for every time it appears, Eidos She'ata Yochol Lahazima that appears in Shas, there's a very, very interesting example of this. Which is almost off the charts, which I know that Moshe and Yudi might have looked at because they asked me, they finished and asked me what else they might do, but you might not have gotten through the Gemara yet. Before we go to that Gemara, it's in Baba Kama Defai and Hamid Beis. So before you go there, so let me ask you a question, Daniel. You were saying that you can't be Mekayim Kasher Zamam, right? Something. What were you saying? That's what you said, something like that?
What my Havamina was or what the Gemara was saying?
Well, what do you emerge? What is your next step? That we all, many of us thought. After you saw Tosfos Kasher, the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So what does Eidos She'ata Yochol Lahazima mean?
It's a type of She'ata Yochol Lahazima is they can't get the punish.
Correct. You can't do kasher zamam the way you said before. Right. In other words, it's not just it's lahazima not in the broad sense, but in the very technical sense of kasher zamam. Okay. So then you once you take that and you sort of take that idea literally, that not only do you have to be able to falsify the testimony, but you also have to be able to administer the punishment of the kasher zamam. So then the question of Tosus is obvious. Right? If we're saying that you can't do kasher zamam, Payoim bin Hakosa Rasha is the punishment when you can't do kasher zamam, so then why isn't it Eidu Shi'ata Yachal HaHazima? Right? Because you can't make them, whatever the reason is that the Gemara Malchus says, you can't make the Eidim into Ben Gusha Ben Chalutza, it's by definition, if you can't do Kasher Zamam, it's Eidur She'iata Yochol LaHazima. Now, the clever answer to that, of course, is the second answer provided by Tosus and Malchus. Do you guys see? Okay. So the second answer of Tosus and Malchus is that you only require kasher zamam. In other words, kasher zamam is only required for edus when it's sort of in the parsha of, I guess, kasher zamam. But since we know explicitly that edus ben gusha ben chalutza is a separate din, it's vayam ben akosa rasha, so there you don't require edus sha'ata yochal hazima. Now, I don't think, by the way, Tosus doesn't talk about this. I don't think Tosus would say that if Eidus ben Gusha ben Chalutza doesn't require Atayochal Hazima, because we know it's been explicitly excluded from the Pasuk of Kasher Zamam, it's in the Pasuk of Vayam ben Akosa Rasha, I don't think Tosus would say that they don't need to give Malkom and Zaman on that Eidus. Right? As I don't think Tosus would say that, therefore, if the Edom walk in and we say, we saw your mother, you know, your mother became a Zona through Bia on, before she, met, before she was, you were conceived from your father, so I don't think anybody would say that, oh, well, they don't have to provide a date. In other words, look, he was conceived on December 1st, 1973. It's not enough for them to say, we saw before that date your mother, have bia with someone who wasn't your father, right? And she was married to your father without specifying a date. Presumably, they have to identify a date because otherwise it's Eidu She'iata Yochal HaZima. So I would think. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's hard for me to imagine. Maybe I'm starting with my original bias. It's hard for me to imagine that there aren't really fundamentally two separate dinim here at Iyata Yochal HaZima. One of them is so intuitive. And one of them is so intuitive without certain basic facts about the testimony, I would say it's simply not Eidus at all. Whereas the other one really does look like Eidus, but there's a technical problem and you can't fulfill Kasher Zamam. Alex?
I don't understand why we're making this a chiluk within the laws of Kasher Zamam. Isn't it just the standard requirements for Rishon Chakir that they have to provide
I agree, but the reason that's provided for that if they fail, if one of them says, by bedikos, if one of them says, eni yodea, if the dayanim feel that it's a reasonable error, they can sort of let it go, as long as they don't contradict one another. But by drishas v'chakiras, by the seven questions, if they say, one of them says, eni yodea, forget if they contradict each other, you toss it out. Why? Because the Gemara says, because it's eidu shi'ata yochal hazima. That's the original makor. So, but it seems to me intuitive what you said is correct, though. It's not Eidus if you can't identify certain... Even by Bedikos, I'd imagine that if a guy said, Reuven killed Shimon, and yet the aide says, I saw Reuven kill Shimon, but he can't identify a weapon, he can't identify certain basic facts, I assume that the Dayanam, any Odea there, is going to... The Dayanam is going to throw out the Eidus, right? So I would have assumed that even within the formal requirement of Eidus Shatei Chalazima, that there should be a distinction between... two different kinds of Eidu She'ata Yochal HaZima. One of them, basically, you're giving testimony where nobody can ever falsify it. The other case, there's a technical barrier. We can't do this to you, we can't do that to you. The most interesting, extreme version of that second kind is the Gemara Bava Kamma. The Gemara comes up with a very odd scenario. Simcha says something very funny in a Braisa, and the Gemara basically establishes, and is a machlokes, better I should quote it, I'll mistake it if I... Ein Hamid Beis. So the Gemara there talks about if you have two pairs of Eidim, one that a guy stole and one that a guy shechted. Okay, two Eidim on the Geneva, two Eidim on the Tvicha. So theoretically, if you're mazim the edim on the tvicha, I think the Mishnah already, the Mishnah of the Brisa says, if you're mazim the edim on the tvicha, so the guy still pays kefel, because they're edim that he stole, and he owes kefel, and the edim who testified about the tvicha or the mechira pay bezo gimel, they pay the rest of the dalad v'hei. And if, of course, the edim who are on the geneva are huzam, then the guy pays nothing. The edim who were huzam on the geneva pay kefel, and the edim who testified about the beis and gimel, they don't pay anything. But obviously, nobody pays the dalav hay, because if there was no geneva, there was no tficha mechira. So, in the midst of that brisa discussing what happened to whom, Sumchus throws in a line. The previous discussion in the brisa had been. Husmu edus geneva. I'm sorry. Husmu edei tvicha. Hu mishalan tashlame kefa. Vahe mishalan tashlame shlosha. Okay, let's assume it's an ox. Sumchus omru. Hein mishalan tashlame kefa. Hu mishalan tashlame shlosha. The parashnai and the aisle. That last line doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? He pays the two or three, and the edim pay for the kefel. That doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara. At one point comes up that says that Sumchus is talking about the following case. There's a missing part of the Braisa, and the case is the following. Two Edom come and say, let me just find the two Edom come and say Ganafta. He says, it's true, I stole and I was Toveach and Mocher, but you weren't witness to it. And then Lo b'fnechem ganafti, and then he brings Edim to be mazim them. Okay, he brings Edim to be mazim them, so they become Edim zomimim on the geneva. And that's why, so they have to pay, Sumcha says, they have to pay the kefel for which the Edim zomimim, and he has to pay the rest for the tficha and mechira. So Sumcha says that, and the Chachamim disagree.
Can we repeat why?
He was Toveach u'mocher.
Yeah.
Okay. There are other technical obstacles to.
Okay, what did he add from the Mishnah to this?
So the case was where they came and say Ganafta. He said yes, Ganafti, and the Hodah is too late in that sense. It's too late because Edim already came. Hodah b'makom Edim is not Edim. So he says Ganafti v'tavachti u'omacharti. But you weren't there to see it. And he brings Edim and he's mazim them.
Okay.
All right, and then I think subsequently Edim come. You need Edim because there's no Knas if there's no Edim. Now Edim come and say, Gana v'tavachu machar. And his Hodah doesn't count as Hodah because when he was Modeh, he was only Modeh because of the first Edim. So Sumcha says that the first Edim pay the Karen and the Kefel, and he pays the rest of it. Moshe?
Wait, but the Tavachu machar was extra.
So again, those are the technical obstacles that have to be overcome.
Okay.
But the Gemara says the following. At one point, what's the machlokas about? Eidus sha'ata yochol lahazima. Why? So which part of the testimony of the last witnesses who come, which can't you falsify?
The part that was admitted.
Yeah. The ganav admitted I stole. The ganav admitted that I stole. And now, the Edim come and say, Ganavta v'tavachta macharta. So the Gemara says that that's called, according to the Chachamim, that's why they say, they don't say, they pater the guy, it would seem, because it's Edosh i'ata yochol lahazima. And Sumchus, the Gemara thinks from it, says, wait, Sumchus believes that Edosh i'ata yochol lahazima is good Edos? So the Gemara says, no, it's sort of a kosher claim. The Gemara says that basically the answer for Sumchus is that if it's Eidus Shiatech Lazimo, because you know it's true, that's not Eidus Shiatech Lazimo. Now, the whole point of Eidus Shiatech Lazimo is it's unfalsifiable. Why do we care about testimony if it's unfalsifiable when we know as a fact it's true already because you have Hodas Baldin?
Or even more than that, like, why is that more unfalsifiable? Which
are the next two Eidim? Well, they say Ganavta v'tavachta macharta. So on the
second.
Right, so the point is their edus on the geneva. In order to have him paying the dalav hay, the bezo gimel, you need him to be chayv kefel. If the rule is if there's no kefel for whatever reasons. In other words, if a guy is moda that he stole, but not moda that tficha mechira, before Edim come, and then Edim come and say tavachta macharta, he's potter because if he's not chayvin kefel, dal veheyom rachman of lo gimel v'dalad.
Why is this the second group?
So the second set of Edim are not Edim, the Gemara thinks, according to the Chachamim, because in order for them to be Mechayiv him Kefel, they have to testify about the Geneva. But they can't testify about the Geneva that he stole, because it's Edir She'iyata Yachal Azima, because it's a fact already. He admitted it already.
Even for the... Why would that make a difference? Couldn't they still become Edim Zomim by Usam Ritzei? We still saw you at the
Excellent question. So I'm not going to go any further with this, but if you look in the Shita Mekubetzes in Bava Kama, when I looked at this Gemara, it was really bothering me. What do you mean? It's not Iyata Yochel Azimo. You can falsify the testimony. If two Edim come and say that the latter Edim weren't there, they're also Edim Zomim.
Same way they falsify the first pair of Edim, even though it was true what they testified.
Correct. So I think the simple answer to the question at first glance is the following. Now, what the Gemara is assuming here, it's not just that you can't falsify it, but in order to say that the Edim Zomimim have to pay the money, so you have to, what you're basically saying is that you are going to get the punishment that you attempted to administer to him. But there's an assumption that Shelo Kedin. But if he was already chayv already, when the Edim come and say that Gonavta, so they weren't trying to be mechayv on something that he wasn't already chayv. He knew it. He admitted he was chayv already. The first set of Edim came and testified before he was moda, so he wasn't chayv to pay anything yet. But the second set of Edim come when he's already chayv to pay, so you can't say that we're going to punish you. Here's the svara, if you want to call it Tashin Tabit Kra. You wanted to make him pay money, therefore we need to make him pay money. No, you don't want to make him pay money. We already knew he was paying money. He was already moda. That's probably what the Gemara means. But interestingly enough, if you look in the Shita Megubetzes, they quotes the Rosh, who thinks, and this pertains to our Tosfos, he thinks that what about Losana? What about Losana? They testified falsely, that we know. So normally we give them Kasher Zamam, as we've been discussing now for days. We give them Kasher Zamam instead of Malkos, right? Because we can make them pay money, and whatever the basis is that you pay, you don't get Malkos. But now they can't make it pay money, because they weren't going to cost him anything. So why not give him Malkus for Losana? And now the Rush says, obviously you don't give him Malkus for Losana, because if you did, it would be Eidu She'ata Yochel Azima. What's the proof? Now, are you giving him Kasher Zamam? No, you're not making him pay money, because that wasn't Kasher Zamam. He didn't want to mechayev the person money. But apparently, according to the Rush, any time you're going to administer a punishment to him, it would seem, if that were the prescribed punishment, then that should suffice for Eidu She'ata Yochel Azima. It doesn't matter whether you're not giving him the very same punishment. What would the basis for that be? Well, that's the same thing Tosfos is talking about. I'm not sure Tosfos would actually agree with that Rush. I don't want to go further in that, but in effect, that question is sort of floating in the... It's really addressing the same question you are raising, right? In other words, you can be Mazen then. The Rush is saying, and if you could give them, so the Gemara is saying, you can't give them any, you can't give them the money punishment. That's why Iyata Yachal Azima, because they're not Mechayev money, he wasn't already Chayev. You can't say that's what they wanted to do to him. But the question is, you could perhaps, so you could say that giving them Malkus wouldn't be Kasher Zama. But the Rush says, they're not lucky on Losana. Why? Because if you were giving them a punishment, that would be sufficient. As long as there's some punishment that's going to come as a result of them being made in Eidim Zomimim, that would be Eidu She'ata Yochel LaHazima, and therefore it must be that you don't get Malkus on the Lasana. Okay. Anyway, but I've raised that Gemara because that Gemara's presentation is, again, sort of the extreme of saying not just that you can't give the punishment that they wanted to minister, but if you just, in other words, if their Eidus we know is true, we don't know that they were Edim to it, but we know their Edus is true already, then that's called Edus She'ata Yochel Hazima. Since this fact has been established already, and you can't give them that very punishment, the Edus is totally invalid even for other purposes. Again, remember, why do we need the Edus in that case for Sumchus? Why do you need the Edus of, what do they accomplish? They're not being Mechayiv him on the Geneva, because that he's already Chayiv on. We know it's a fact already. So technically, they've been mechayiv, technically, and Moshe, don't jump on me, they're giving mechayiv him kefel. they mechayiv him kefil because his hodah alone is not enough to mechayiv him kefil, and the mechayiv in the dal vehei. Okay, so there's more to talk about that gemara. I don't want to talk about it now, but the bottom line is you see how far possibly edus she'ata yochal azima goes. That, in other words, it could be considered edus she'ata yochal azima not only because we can't falsify it because they don't give us enough information. It could be considered edus she'ata yochal azima because it's not falsifiable because it's true. Okay, that's again. Or only according to that understanding of the Gemara, the Chacham Maliv the Sumchas. But that's how far it goes. So, but our issue is a different issue. Our issue is the question of if you're not giving him the exact punishment, giving them the exact punishment they wanted to create, so maybe that's called Eid Shiata Chalazima, because taking the words literally, that is in Kasher Zama. So, with all that, so what does Tosfos say, Adin? Vim Tomar. Oh, I'm sorry. So, okay. V'yesh lomar.
V'yesh lomar de lo chashiv eidu chein atayochol lahazima ela b'me'idin al hatrefa de'i esher l'kiyume b'shum davar lo b'mita v'lo b'malkot de'gavar ketila v'o l'mektal ava hafa nitkayma hazama b'malkot.
Okay. Now, the way Tosfos presented here, it's a little bit open-ended. So, firstly, what's the case in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Ches that Tosfos is quoting about being made on a trefa?
You testify that a guy who's
Terminally ill.
He did something. He ate chazer, killed someone. Terminally ill and was about to die.
No. You just mixed two things together. Don't throw me eat chazer. Why can't you...
I thought that we don't give him a punishment at all, a trefa.
I thought it's only a trefa shahar agas anefesh. Because they can say, gavra ketila bo lemiktal. We were killing a dead man.
That a trefa was killed.
If a trefa, you don't want to publicize this too much to people who, most people are terminally ill are better things to think about, but some trefa is going to get a great chachma. Oh, they can't kill me. I can go on a murderous rampage because, after all, and the Edom can warn me and they give asra, and I'll say, I'll pikein laughing inside because I know they can't do anything to me because I'm going to pull out the letter from my doctor that said this man has 3 months to live. Right? So, but the bottom line is, why are you not allowed to, why can't you be sentenced to death a treifa shaharigas hanefesh because you can't have edus? Why can't you have edus? Because if you're mazin the edim, you're going to say you wanted to kill him, and therefore now that you edim someone, we're going to kill you. But they can say we didn't want to kill him; he's dead already, right? Someone who kills a treifa, what's the din? Yipater. It's a very interesting question that's raised. I thought I asked this question a long time ago to Rav Shechter, but he just dismissed it. He said there's maybe a day in Achronim, but Skutsky recently wrote something to me, sent me, or telling me something that he sent, and Rav Shechter said, oh, it's a good idea, you should explore it further. That if killing a trefa is not Yehari V'al Yavor, then even if you believe that brain death isn't dead, you should be allowed to take the organ on the Svarav that's Bikuach Nefesh, and it's not Yehari V'al Yavor. What? Well, no, that was basically the idea, that it's not lo sirtzach. It's not lo sirtzach.
If there's other overarching concern, beyond pikuach nefesh,
I didn't say just for kicks take a person who's a treifa and steal the organs, to save another human being, to save multiple human beings. Right? To go back to the question speaking about, the Gent Zikwi case of the Beis Din and Tzfat, I think, I don't know about you, Schlein, but Rachman al-Litzlan Chas v'Shalom, if I were in a state, of being a treifa, even if I weren't brain dead, if I were, gone and totally unconscious and never coming back with absolute certitude, I'd be happy to donate my organs to save someone. Right? That's not a chayim that I'd really want. So you're with me. Good. I'm glad. So that's why that's an interesting question. A treifa is a gavra ketila. So many don't assume that way. They assume that even though he is walking dead, he's still walking. He's still alive. It's still certainly, even if, a better way of putting it, even if there's no chiyav mises based in, it's still lo sirtzach, right? According to the Shita in Sanhedrin, that a ben Noach is nerag an ubarin, if you assume, like the Reb Chaim's understanding of the Rambam, there's lo sirtzach for a Jew for killing a fetus, even though you don't get mises based in. A lot of things the Rambam has that are shvichos damim of some kind, which are probably hearing v'al yavor, even though you don't actually get mises based in. Yudi? So that's a goseis. That might be there. And we might very well say the same thing for trefa, but a goseis is is someone who's still halachically alive. And if you hasten their death, you are killing, that is straight out shvichus damim.
I don't understand how it's different than a
shvichus. A goses might survive and get better. Right, if someone goes into cardiac arrest.
I thought he's like dying.
No, a goses, the Gemara says, how does it go? Rove, the Gemara Kiddushin says, which is rove l'chaim? Chola and goses. So the Gemara, it's talking about a yuchsin issue. The Gemara says, rove cholam l'chaim, rove goses in lamisa. But a goses might very well recover. Someone has a heart attack, right? That person is a goses, but today, thank God, many people in that situation, you know, you revive, you know, you prevent them from dying, and they go on to live 20, 30, 40 years. Right, so you might call that person a goses, but they're certainly not a trefa. A trefa is someone who we assume will definitely die within 12 months.
Is cancer one of those things or no? I'm just kidding.
Go ask a doctor. You too. Shchimira is probably more like a goses. In that we know that Shchimira sometimes survives. Shchimira just means he's lying sick. And the assumption is he's going to die. It's not a trefa. Shchimira is... The difference between a Shchimira and a goses is a Shchimira, a person might have an illness that they are likely to... A Shchimira, as a person who has an illness, they are likely to die from, but not definitely going to die from. Goses usually means, at least where it appears in Hilchos Avelos, the Mishnah that Yudi was talking about in Shabbos, means someone who is in the throes of death. They might survive. But they're literally, you know, it looks like the moment is here, and they could very well die right now. Shchimira might very clearly assume if he's going to die, he's got at least a few days to live. A goses typically, right, I think that's the best way to distinguish. But a goses, rove goses in lamisa, but some survive. A goses is not a trefa. You could think about it.
No, I agree. I heard a lot of people disagree.
What do you think the alternative is?
It was a very intricate formulation. Someone winds up a goses is someone whose the process of death is irrevocably begun, whereas a shchemira is just someone who's like very likely to die.
I think that you probably, I'm guessing you misunderstood or the person wasn't formulating. No. You can't say irrevocably, because we know that the Gemara says rove goes to sin lamisa. That means rove, not all. And there's no way around that. But I think what they meant is that when a goses dies, that I'm not sure what they meant, so I'm not even going to try. All right, Yitzi, you had a question.
It seems like Tosfos agrees with the Rosh that generally we don't have this option of giving malchut, but over here we do.
Correct. I think Tosfos would say, here's the problem. The problem is, I have to look at, that's why I don't want to go into the Rush. I think, and maybe I misread something or misremembering something, but for the Rush, it sounds like, in other words, Tosfos would say, if you gave a Malchus Filosana, it's still not Kasher Zamam. Tosfos, I think, would say, he doesn't spell that out Tosfos, but if you look at Tosfos and Malchus, Tosfos here just says, Avahochan is Kaim HaZamam B'Malchus, but I think that, let me look at Tosfos and Malchus, plot 1 second. Tosfos actually says it a little bit. I guess, you know, the truth is, if you assume these Tosfos are arguing, which I don't, I think this is just an abridged form of that. If you read this alone, you could read it like I'm suggesting the Rush says. That if you get some punishment, that'd be sufficient. But Tosfos and Makos formulates it much more explicitly in talking about the case of Trefa, that there you wanted to get him killed. And if you can't kill them, that's not called Kasher Zaman. But he says something, and I have to admit, I don't fully understand. He says, by Ben Gusha Ben Chalutza, they only wanted to Kevan Shelo. What I think Tosfos means, but this is a stretch, is what's the In other words, making a guy into a ben grusha, ben chalutza is not, it's not, there's no punishment to the guy. Unless what you're saying is, me'idin anushu with ben grusha, and ben, I mean, if I'm not sure what, ben chalutza, and he did avodah on the mikdash or something like that. In other words, it's not even a lav. It's not even a lav. So, Betosa says, because all you did was me'idin shebein shem chalutza, and it's a lav. So, therefore, the lav, the malchus of, of Hayam Menach Karsarasha is enough to be called Eidos She'atayach Lazima. That's enough. You know, enough. In other words, it's close enough in equivalence, the punishment we give them with what they tried to do. And again, what they tried to do wasn't Malkus, it was personal status change. I don't know why Tosus calls that Malkus Balma. But as opposed to the case of Trefa, where they tried to kill him, and if you don't kill them, that's not Kasher Zaman. So for Tosus, in Makos, it's very clear that it's a fairly narrowly defined, you know, principle. If you read this Tosfos alone, and again, I'm not going to say they have to be holding the identical position, then you might walk away with that understanding of the rush, that if you would give them Makos for anything, for Losana, for something else, that would be enough to call it Eidosh Atayach
Olazimah. Doesn't that have to be the understanding, though, based on the argument that Tosu Yishan quotes off of Shalosh Shen and Hanavio? It says that Rabbi Meir wants to give him Malkut for Lotan, and the Chachamim are like, no, you can't give him for both. So it seems like they have a wider Lotan. It's not just in the case, it's not like a very narrow, just this one case. They seem to have a principle at any time of Malkut. I guess closer to something like Sayani Lach.
No. But no, I don't know why. The point is, the Chachamim, the only Machlokas was whether Losana was the Ashara against Edim Zomimim, or was it not necessary for that? Rameir says it's not necessary. In other words, the Chacham say you can't get two sets of Malchus, you can't get Kasher Zamam and Losana, because Losana is the Asara of Kasher Zamam. But if there is no actual implementation of Kasher Zamam, then you should be able to get Malchus on Losana. Even according to the Chachamim.
If it's an Asara issue, why do they say Ensofeg?
No, he does get Malchus, but it's got to be one or the other. In other words, the pashtus is Losane is the Ashara for Ben Gusha Ben Chalutza.
So only that one case. But that doesn't
but
that's not the implication over there either. Over there it seems to have made him that he gets Malkos.
Yeah, why is he getting Malkos? Because Kasher Zamam. And Losane is the Ashara for Kasher Zamam. So you got to have it one way or the other. But it's not whenever you can't administer kasher zamam, so not talking about midon bishpulin shuchaya malchus or bad. Whenever it's anything you can't, you know, you can't apply kasher zamam, so then you're left with a losane, and it's a regular lav, putting aside the question of lav shem and maisa, lav she nitin, lav sar shemisa space that Tosfos Shana mentions at the end. And so therefore, you get malchus for that.
So then how could the Rosh say that you never get malchus? Obviously, the
time that it never applies because then you would solve the Yachal Azimah problem. Now, you can. So there's a different. I'm going to formulate the question, your question, I think, a little differently, if I think I understand where you're going. Which is why not, and this I think actually will demonstrate, in effect, why Tosfos here probably agrees with Tosfos and Malkus. It's the same thing. I have a suggestion. Why? In other words, here's the question. Why don't we believe if any time you give Malkus, that fulfills Kasher Zaman, if you give an Onesh? So I have a solution to the Trefa problem. We're not going to give them Misa if they're Huzam, because they can say Garba Katila Baola Miktel. But why don't we give them Malkus for Losana? And now that they're getting a punishment, they should be afraid of that punishment. Say it's Eidosh She'ata Yachol Lahazima.
I can answer for Toso and Maga. I'm asking for Rosh.
Hold on. So I have to. I'm not sure I know the. One sec. So I think the answer is that the two things have to be commensurate. And therefore, you can say that giving him Malkus on when they wanted to kill him is considered Kasher Zaman. So I think it might be that what the Rush would say in Malko. Well, no. The Rush seems to hold differently. So what's your question, though?
If the Rush doesn't have a standard of everything being commensurate, and he holds that it only applies in this one case, then how does he read the argument of Rabbi Meir and Chachamim of saying someone needs to get malka.
The rush is saying you don't get malchus for losana, right? But it, why? I'm trying to think. What's
so
the case? One second. Okay, so what's your question though?
That seems to contradict the explicit opinion of Chachamim. Chachamim seem to say that it's a tier thing, like what Tosfot says.
It's tiered, meaning
in any case where we wouldn't have Kasher Zaman, we might put in Lotana, assuming that it's commensurate.
I have to think about it a little bit further. Instinctively, remember how the rush came about this. The rush didn't come about this as a matter of principle of what Losana gets. The rush just says that you see from the Gemara that in that case, you're not getting Malkos even for Losana, because otherwise it would have been Eidu Sha'ata Yachol Azima. So all... I think, I have to think about your question a little bit further, but I think all he's suggesting is this one, whatever the reason is in that case, you don't get Malkos, but I don't think it means that Losana is only, automatically has to be narrowly constrained for the case of Ben Grushim and Chalutza. I need a little time to think about it. It's fair. Daniel?
Just to continue off of something you were just saying to Sprung, I don't understand the distinction between the two cases. In a sense, why are
which two cases?
In the... Our case of Ben Grush and Ben Chalutza.
Yeah, and
case.
Yeah.
You were saying this
5 seconds.
I don't understand why in one case when you can give him Kasher Zaman, you give him Malka, but in a Trefa case you don't.
So the answer Tosus spells out in Malkos is that in order to be Kasher Zaman, they have to be commensurate. So again, I don't fully understand.
But then apply that to this case.
Which case? So Tosus there claims, and I don't fully understand why, Tosus says that by Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, it's a lav bi-alma, and therefore Malko suffices. I don't know what lav Tosus is talking about. In other words, if you're saying that by Trefa, Malkos doesn't suffice because they wanted to kill him, so by Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, they didn't want to kill him, they didn't want to really give him Malkos either, but he says it's anal el lav bi-alma. So it could be that Tosus just means that whatever they were doing to Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, that's even less than Malkus. So certainly giving them Malkus would be sufficient, but it doesn't sound like that. So I don't know exactly what he means when he says, you know, La Ba'alma. But the difference between that, you can certainly understand why in the Ben Grusha and Ben Chalutza, a Trefa case, giving him Malkus when they wanted to kill him is not Yachal Azim. Nagar?
The lav in this situation could be several different things. It could either be that he's lying, or it could be, which is normal, a Kohen was doing what he thought was right.
No.
He didn't know he was a Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza, so he was over on certain lav.
So that, I said, I understand. So I said he does a vote on the Mikdash. Okay. But I don't like the first one, because if you say the first one, that it was just the lav of giving false testimony, that exists by Me'idan ala Trefa also. So give him Malkus for that, and that's called the Yachal Azima. I think it has to be commensurate with what they wanted to do to the guy. In other words, when Tosfos says "Ena ala la bi'alma," it has to do with something having to do with the guy.
If you know that the guy's, practicing, his kahuna stuff, then you want to do something.
Okay, but no. But the answer is, if the guy thought he was a kohen kasher, unless the testimony was me'iden anu be'ishploni shu ben charusha ben grusha mechalutza, and he knew that, and he was doing things that would get malchus for a zar for chaladoyim. Correct. So that I don't.
Still, he would have some sort of punishment, though. I mean, like some sort of.
To be honest with you, I'm not sure that a Kohen who doesn't know he's a halal and acts as a Kohen gets any kind of punishment. The Gemara in Kiddushin says in the third parak that a halal she'avad, not knowing he was a halal, barech Hashem chelo, his avodas kshera. Until you find out that he was a halal, barech Hashem chelo. So it's kind of hard to.
He was lying.
What's that?
Maybe it was that the guy was lying.
Then the Ikar's Chaser Min HaMishnah. I mean, okay. Anyway, so I wanted to... Yes, Yeti.
So a Trefa who's walking around can be punished for any lav that he does.
I don't see why not. In other words, he's not a Gavra Milka. He's not a Gavra Lakia. Right? He's a Gavra Katila.
Sort of extended
Kamle.
Like,
you're going to
die.
It's not Kamle. It's just that... is that it's Eidus Shefteich Lazima. By Malkus, they wanted to beat a living person. Right? They wanted to, well, I mean, unless you're going to, right. I mean, I in other words.
He's going to die. Why beat him? Like,
you know. Anyway, Yudi.
Is there a reason why our Tosfot over here uses the case of the Trefa and the Tosfot in Malkus uses that other case of the Sanhedrin case?
Oh, so there is another case also, which we've addressed previously. There's one other case where they testify about someone, but the Edim can say that the intent of our testimony, in other words, they testify about the Nara Marasa, that she was Mizana, but they don't mention, I forget how the Hasra works out there, because if they said we gave her Hasra, then they can't say that we only came to be Masid Haraksuba. So that's the that Gemara is along the lines that if you can't give them the Onesh, because again, and this goes back to the heart of the issue from the Gemara Baba Kama Dafai and Hamid Beis, that it's what they wanted to cost the person. If the testimony is a fact already, it's not falsifiable because he admitted he was a Ganav, so then you're saying that because they didn't want to cost him any money, you can't punish them for that. Because they could say, what do you mean? We already knew he was chai of that. So by the same token, if the Edom can say, we had no intent to be chai of Misa, all we wanted to do was to be mafsid or the ksuba, so then it's Eid Shiatach Lazima, and you wouldn't be able to kill her. What's that? No. Hold on. The Gemara's on Daf Mem Aleph. I think so. Eide Nara Marasa, Rukhanan says, Shahuzmoy Nara Gemitosh Shechomos Rabala Banu. Then the Gemara comes up with Hasra. I'm sorry. The Hasra it has to be a case of an Isha Chavera, where he's a Chaver, well, if you're concerned about him. And therefore, you don't need Hasra because it's holding like Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Huda Shalmin Hasra La Havchem in Shogig Lamezid. So they can say, they didn't talk about Hasra, they can say that we only came to the Masad or Aksuba, and since you can't kill them, you can't kill her either. Right? Because it's Eidah Shia Techlazima. So if the Eidim have a Snatzel, so they can say plausibly that they didn't mean to give that punishment, so since you can't give them that punishment, therefore you can't punish with that punishment. That, on some level, that elbow is a little bit more like, it's not unfalsifiable, but it's basically saying, it's not that we can't falsify your testimony, but if we can't falsify your intent, we also can't give the punishment. I don't know why they quote from that. For the purposes of Tosis's Teretz, they're equivalent, because it's both cases, it's a case of Misa. Right? Now, the kasha there is, if you're giving him one punishment, so why does that constitute Atayoch HaLazima, for whatever punishments you can now give the Na'am Arasa? And the answer is because their punishment has to be equivalent. So to
it
be.
It seems like in this case, he's justifying the
anti to the case of the tree. No, I agree. So both cases provide you with the exact same question. Right? There are cases where their testimony, for whatever reason, you can't punish the Edom, and therefore we turn around and say you can't punish the person they're testifying against. And both of them are cases of Misa, so both of them suffice to provide ultimately the Teretz, the Tosis, who will distinguish between Misa and Malchus. Okay. So anyway, that's a little bit about Eidus She'iyata Yachol Azima. Moving on. Yes, Mati.
Is that when you kept saying that they don't get Malchus, you can't, that you are able to get Malchus?
Where? I don't remember if the Gemara discusses it. I assume, I don't.
Let's just say, Yev Shali Kimei V'Shem Davar, Lob Misa, Lob Malchus.
Where?
Oh,
does he?
Yeah.
1 second. I missed that. That didn't register for me. And I should have. It's right in front of my nose. 1 second. Let me just look at the Gemara one more moment. Is that because you can't give a... 1 second. So Gemara doesn't say. Gemara doesn't say you can't give a Malchus.
It might just be that you,
you might think that, okay, you can't kill him because they even test him that you wouldn't even be able to give him malchus for the love of killing someone. Because
so that thought crossed my mind when he asked the question. Is this and as why can't you give him malchus? Because you can't give a gavra. Because you can't give it right. It can't be saying what Mati. That's no. Either whatever the malchus means here, it's for killing. Right. No. 1 second. No. You're misreading this. It's not for the. It's not for the trefa. It's for the edim. Okay, that's a klatz kasha. All right. So anyway, the Gemara doesn't say. I don't know for sure what the din is, but the Gemara doesn't say explicitly one way or the other by malchus. Okay, fine. All right. The next issue. Maybe we should be able to finish today. For our guest, we usually they have. You're welcome to stay or not stay. The last 15 minutes, they get to ask any questions they want. It's the reward for being in Shir on Sunday. So anyway, let's do Tosos Divar Maschil Ula. So here, just a piece of background, which Tosos quotes it, but I think it's worth. I hope you look up the Gemara. No chidushim there. The Gemara quotes a statement, I think a brisa, that says that if you're chosein para v'dashbe, you're loke u'mishalim. So there is an issue of los hasom shor b'disho, and we certainly hope you get malchus for that lav, since it's the makar, it's the paradigm for lav in which get malchus. But remember that when you rent someone's animal, one of the obligations you have is feeding it. The Gemara of Odezer in the first parak talks about the question of, it quotes the Brises or the Mishnah, that if someone rents a behemoth from a Kohen, or if a Kohen rents a behemoth from Yisrael, so are you allowed? Which cases are you allowed to feed a truma? Schiris kanya, schiris lo kanya. The assumption, of course, is that there's a responsibility upon the party who rents the animal, who uses it to work. You want the animal to work, you also have to feed it. So you have a contractual obligation to feed the animals that you borrow or rent from your friend, and therefore if you take that animal and you muzzle it during the time of threshing, which would have been one of the times it would have eaten, so that which it would have eaten its lunch while you were threshing, so there's, you basically in principle owe the person money. So the Gemara says, quotes a brisa that says yiloka mishalim, and obviously as you can imagine without looking at the Gemara, the question is, but we say kidei rishasa. So yes,
I might have to leave in a few minutes. I pass already on to Dan
Schlein. Okay. Yeah, fine.
I know he's prepared, so I'm willing to do that.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Okay. Fine. Mashma de Rava Salar Ke'ula. So the fact that Ula learns Boshis Begam from something other than Tachas.
Okay, so just take a step back 1 second. Our Gemara, the Gemara had suggested that Ula, who has the word Tachas free for Exeir Shava Tachas, to teach you at least by Onei Simifate, or more generally, that's what Tosfos was saying in the Anatso, that Ula learns that Kolhecha Dikama, that when there's Malkos and Mamon, Mishalim Veino Loke, and again, either that's just local to the three cases, he learned the additional case of Onei Simifate besides Chovlein Zomim, or Kolhecha, the Ika Malkos Mamon and Mishalim Mikol Aloki. So Ula has Tachas free because he learns like Rava. He learns like Rava that you learn the makor that in Onei Simifate that the knas is just for these specific circumstances. But of course, in addition, you pay Boshes Pagam and potentially Tzar. He learns that from Ha'isha Shochev Ima. He doesn't learn it like Abaye from the word Tachas. Therefore, Ula has the word Tachas free. Why does Rabbi Yochanan not agree with Ula? Because he holds like Abaye's Limud that you need Tachas for that, and therefore he doesn't have Tachas free for the Gzeir Shava. So now, we know what Ula holds. We know what Rabbi Yochanan holds. We could even assume that Abaye must agree with Rabbi Yochanan because Abaye doesn't have Tachas free to learn Gzeir Shava. He might. What about Rava? Rava, who has the word Tachas free in theory to learn Xer Shava like Ula, does Rava hold like Ula? So Tosu says, Mashma.
Mashma de Rava Savar Ula. The Rabbi Yochanan Gufe have a Dorish ki Ula, Ula Mishum de Miboy Le Lech de Abai.
How do we know that? It's a klutz kash on my part. How do you know that? That Rabbi Yochanan would hold that way?
Because
the Gemara says, why does Rabbi Yochanan not hold like Ula? Because he needs Tachas for the din of Abaye. Mashma, that if he didn't, Obviously, he would agree with Ula. The Gemara makes it sound like the Gemara makes it sound like Rabbi Yochanan only disagrees with Ula because he needed tachas or something else. If he didn't need tachas or something else, okay. That point, by the way, is important because the question is how seriously you take the suggestion of the Gemara. As Yitzi and David were pointing out to me, and did you check, by the way, the Rambam? I'm sure we know the Rambam Paskins. We're not gonna know. How do we know this is stira at the Rambam? The Rambam Paskins like Rabbi Yochanan. That I know. All right. Well, whatever. We'll eventually get this. We might not get to it today, but so the point is, you can assume that Ula would Rabbi Yochanan would have held like Ula, except for that he needed tachas for something else. Okay, and therefore Rava, who obviously doesn't need tachas to teach you the din of that the owner of Boshes Pagam is additional because he learns it from Haish Hashochevima. Therefore, obviously Rava must hold like Ula. The Kasha the Rashba.
Kasha the Rashba the Beperik Hasocher the Pavalim. Mashma behedia the Savak Rabbi Yochanan Gabe Chosin Para the Gabe Chosin Para the Dashba Loki Mishalim. The Mukila Baye Kirby Meir. The Rava Amar Ulam Kirabanan. The Etnan Asra Torah Afilu Balim. Operush Mishalim Latseti De Shemayim Mashma Dividin Loki in the Mishalim.
Okay.
So
I'll give you a chance. You can play. You can expound fully.
So in Hasokar Tapawalim, so we said that there's this brisa that says loke umishalim for being chosim apara and not allowing you to eat. So according to Abaye, that brisa is working with Rabbi Meir, who says generally,
loke umishalim. The Mason Rabbi Meir limits the din of kama the rabbi to misa and malchus. Okay, and what does Rava say?
Rava says no. That the mishalim of the loke mishalim for chosim asapara is not a tashlim that based in would impose on you. It's a chiyuv bidei shamayim that one has, similar to the esnan an esnan zona. You would be chiyuv bidei shamayim even if the zona was one's mother, according to.
So the question is, what does that mean? Esnan asra Torah filu baal imo.
So, generally speaking, an esnan zona, a fee paid to a prostitute as long as it's in the form of a flat, you cannot make hekdesh. So that's even the case if the esnan is someone who there's a different issue to sleep with. So it's not just.
Well, for starters, I just want to qualify that because Esnan Zona is always someone that there's an Isser to sleep with.
But
it wouldn't be as if someone you could marry. No. Esnan Zona, if I'm not mistaken, is not.
It's with Pnuya generally. Like, I mean, at least Rashi there says something along the lines of Mali Pnuya,
Loshna.
That's it. Okay.
Okay, I'll leave for the moment. I'm under the impression on the earth, but fine. What's the Gemara's point from Esnan Zona?
So, the point is, it's still called Esnan Zona even if one is paying it to.
You have another reason to give the gift to someone.
To one's mother, but one would never be. But one's mother would never be able to be tovaas. As strange as that sounds, one's mother would never be able to be tovaas the Esnan from her son because he's already chayav misa.
Correct.
With his mother.
And therefore, what might
called Esnan Zona.
And what might I have concluded, though?
So you might have concluded that the fee you'd pay your mother, the fee one would pay one's mother, be really careful pronouns here, is that it's not considered an Esnan, and therefore
it's just a gift.
If he could make that,
it's just a gift. Right. In other words, if someone gives an Esnan a present, not in exchange for services, that's not called Esnan Zona, even if she's a Zona. Right? And if she did some other favor for him, it's not Esnan Zona. And if he once upon a time did pay her fee, and then later he sent her a gift, I don't know for sure, but I assume that's not Esnan Zona because it's not part of the services. So you might have thought that if a person is Baal Imo, and he sends her a gift, since it's not actionable in a Beis Din, you might think it's just not called Esnan. If he gives her the money, it's a gift. So Rava is saying that no, that it's only not actionable because of a technicality of kol mei d'rabba mine. But technically speaking, I don't even want to say lotzei shidei shamayim. I know to say he's mechuyev to give his mother on a contractual basis because you did X for me, so you're chayev technically. Beis Din won't enforce it, but you know I don't know. I'm not sure what. Yes.
Sometimes Tamar felt that way regarding you.
Why not? What's that? So Tamar needed proof. The problem is that normally there's no proof.
Actionable.
What's that? No, once you have a mashka, that becomes a different. But that would be like that. That's a separate example. That's a different kind of example. But the bottom line is, it's.
How often is like based in like dealing with like prostitutes?
I don't know. Maybe they're based in a Nevada or something like that, okay? So the bottom line is that if, even though it's not actionable, yeah, theoretically he owes her it. And so therefore Rava says the same thing here, that you owe, if you muzzle someone else's ox, that you were contractually obligated to feed. So since you stole the money in the process of violating a los ase for which you get malkos, Beis Din will not force you to do it. Loke Mishalim doesn't mean Beis Din makes you do both. Loke in Beis Din. But if you want to know, you really do owe the other person money. Will Beis Din force you to pay it? No. But Latse Shidei Shemaim, you certainly need to do so.
Right. That's the Mishalim of the Loke Mishalim for.
So really, what does Rava hold when you have Malkus and Mammon? Rava really holds Loke. He really holds Loke. Which means Rava does not hold like Ula. But why? If after all, Rava does not require the word tachas to teach you boshes and pagam, so then we would say that he should have tachas free like Ula, and he should learn the din that mishal in veno loke. Okay, so that's Akasha. So Tosa, what are you going to do? So Tosa says,
which was mentioned earlier, that it's a local din for Ula, which I know local by Chogla Chavero, Eitim Zomin, and Ones Nafata, that Mishalim Bino Loka is local to those three cases specifically, then it works perfectly fine here. To the Alma, Samark Rabbi Yochanan, Deloka Bein Mishalim, Kid Darish Rabbi Yochanan, So ordinarily, Ula would hold of Rabbi Yochanan's din outside of those three cases, that generally speaking, Loka Bein Mishalim.
Right. In other words, the way Tosos on Lamed Beis and Beis read, and the Ritva quoted a Girsa, that it wasn't Kol Hecha Dika Mamono Malkus Mamono Mishalim Milkol Laki, but rather Hacha Mishalim Mamono Mishalim Milkol Laki. So even Ula, the only Machloka Samaraim between Ula and Rabbi Yochanan is what is the din by Ones Mefata when they warned the Ones who was Mefata, who was being Ones or Mefata, his sister, or some situation with his Malkos. Ula says, Mishalim vino loka, because the Gzeir Shavat tachas. Rabbi Yochanan says, loka vino Mishalim, because tachas is not free for Rabbi Yochanan.
So
he would hold like Ula every single case, but Ula would be moded by Chosein Paraso Shel Chavero that Loka Veina Mishalim, because the default operating principle of Ula is also Loka Veina Mishalim, except for by Ones Mefata because of Tachas. So now I know, Yitzi and David, I know what, I didn't look it up, but I'm pretty sure if you look it up, the Rambam, how is the Rambam going to paskin? You can intuit this, actually. The Rambam is going to paskin. He's going to paskin Loka Veina Mishalim. He's going to pass like Rabbi Yochanan. Now, the key point is, in order to Tosis to stand,
it would have to be a general din for Rabbi Yochanan. The Rambam has to
pass it generally? No. Listen, if you say that Rabbi Yochanan, so firstly, the Rambam, we don't know what the Rambam holds like Ula held. Why not? Because the Rambam didn't write a commentary on the Gemara that we possess. And since the Rambam doesn't paskin like Ula, and paskin's like Rabbi Yochanan, therefore,
it would be with the exclusion of some of these cases, right?
What's that?
It's only by our case, really, since Rabbi Yochanan's.
Would you expect the Rambam to paskin like by our case?
By our case.
If Tosus is right, you'd expect Mishalim and Loka. I didn't look it up. I'll take $20 out of my wallet now, and I'll bet you the Rambam paskins that when they give Hasra by the Ones Mefata, he's Loke Veina Mishalim. I could be wrong. So I'm going to leave that.
I think that is
What's that?
I think that is
Loke Veina Mishalim. Yeah. So then, of course, you're left with Tosus's question, right? Hadron kusha l'duchdan. So the truth is that there are sort of two possible ways, I think, of explaining that. The question is, what did the Rambam reject of Tosus's premise? There are two premises that went into Tosus to reach the conclusion that Tosus reached. And both of them could be disputed. The first is that all the Shas is in agreement with one another. Right? That all sugyos should be reconciled. And if that's the case, then I understand why Tosus does what he does. But if you were to argue that there might be, even if Tosus is correct within our sugya, maybe there's a machlokas ha-sugyos. Maybe, in fact, based upon our sugya, it's mashma. It's not quite explicit that Rabbi Yochanan presumably should hold laikula. And yet it's clear from the sugya in Bava Metzia, unless you take the narrow reading of Ula, as Tosus suggests, that Rava does not hold like Ula, that Rava holds Loka Mishalim. So the Rambam passed like that sugya and not like the Mashmaos of this sugya. The alternative, I don't feel the need to push that far for the Rambam, simply because in the sugya here, it's not very explicit. In other words, the Gemara here, for argument's sake, says that Ula cannot, Rabbi Yochanan cannot hold like Ula, because Ula's makor is tachas, and Rabbi Yochanan needs tachas for Abayi's drasha. And Ula would hold like Rava, but Ula holding like Rava doesn't automatically mean that Rava held like Ula. Maybe Rava would have used the word tachas for something else, maybe not for the Gzeira Shava. In other words, I understand, again, Tosus is inverting the implication of the Gemara. In other words, the Gemara says, why does Rabbi Yochanan hold like Ula? It says because he needs tachas or something else. Was there no other teretz available to the Gemara? Or let me say it differently. Maybe he would have used tachas for something else if he didn't, not that he used it for Abaye. Maybe there's some other type of limud. Now, the Gemara doesn't tell us that. But that's what Tosus suggests. Tosus suggests that if you take the narrow reading of Ula, that it's limited to this din, then the question from the Gemara Bamatia disappears. Because by Chosein Paraso Shachaver, everybody would agree, including Ula, Lo Kevene Mishalem, and the only Machlokas is specifically in the case of Ones Amafata, one of the Chayve Lavin, or Krasos, where there's Malkos, what happens in that case if they did give you Asra, where Rabbi Yochanan says Lo Kevene Mishalem, and Ula says Mishalem Ve'eno Loke. Okay. Fine. So we'll stop here. Tomorrow I would like to complete this part of the sugya. Tomorrow is the really particularly interesting topic of martyrdom and Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. And after you finish that, if you finish the Makaris, you can start, go through the next sugya. The next piece is probably the longest one, is to do Reish Lakish's opinion, and that's going to take you all the way to Lamed Hei Amud Beis. So I hope that we can finish the Inyanim before this man is out. We don't have that much time. I think we have this week and next week. Okay.